Hello and welcome along to the Anxiety Specialist podcast. I'm your host, Michael Burrows.
And I'm Becky Burrows.
If you've been struggling with anxiety or know someone who has been, then this podcast is for you.
Today, we're going to be covering some more tips, strategies, and insights so you can get the anxiety-free life you deserve.
Ready? Let's dive in.
Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. Stella is a business and mindset coach and the founder of Uniquely Ever After, a business coaching company that focuses on inspiring women to reclaim the dreams they left behind and empower them by giving them the strategy and mindset tools necessary to create a freedom-based business so they can go on to create the life of their dreams. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Can you just elaborate on what it is that you help people with, how you do that, and the sort of people you help?
Sure. So I provide business and mindset coaching to women who are looking to start their first business, so new and aspiring entrepreneurs. I help them by establishing the business foundations that they need to have them really set up for success, such as clarity on their niche and ideal client, their offers. We develop a content strategy and effective workflows so that we systematize those recurring tasks. But what makes Uniquely Ever After so different from other companies is that we address mindset blocks that pop up all along the way while we're working on developing this business. We like to really focus on the development of the entrepreneur as an individual and that individual's growth, as well as the development of her business. So it provides this well-rounded blend, business development and personal development, to maximize her success.
Awesome. This is one of the things that I found with business myself as well, is that so much of the development of the business is based on your personal development. And so such a key part of the journey is self-development. It's one of the things I love about being in business, actually, is there's a real motivation and reward for actually doing the work, putting that work in.
I agree. It's actually something that I feel needs to be talked about more in the online space, because everyone that wants to start a business is seeking those business strategies, and you need them. You absolutely do need them. But how can you really implement them and grow your business if you're not truly growing as that business owner? The personal development piece is absolutely imperative to the success of the business.
You can probably map it as the personal growth and the growth of the business, because it's so interlinked. I'd love to hear your own journey with the mindset and the personal development, and especially anything to do with the anxiety that came up with starting your own business and going through this process.
Absolutely. I personally have struggled with high functioning anxiety for most of my life. And this was demonstrated as efforts toward trying to just achieve perfection, becoming very self-critical for the smallest mistakes. And I eventually did develop an eating disorder, because at one time I felt that it was the only thing I could control in my life, feeling so empty, miserable, and I knew I needed a change. So I was working as a mental health therapist, and I loved helping people. But going to an office every day was just not for me. And I knew this was not going to be sustainable for the long term. I started to think back to how I had these huge dreams as a child. And I originally wanted to become a nonfiction author for personal development books, specifically to help women navigate some of the challenges with their anxiety and self-worth that I was experiencing. I did theater and dance for so long. So being on stage is something I loved. Dropped it all when I started college. And it was just this abrupt shift that it almost was an identity crisis. Like I felt like I wasn't me anymore. I was a brand new person and I had no idea who this new person was. And there was always just that nagging feeling like something was missing. And I did the worst possible thing I could do. I ignored the nagging feeling. So it grew and it grew until I could no longer deal with it. And the turning point in this story is, I remember I was sitting with my mom talking to her about how I was feeling one day. And I told her, I feel cheated out of life because nothing I want is happening and I'm miserable and accomplished. And I will never forget these words. She said, "Darla, if you don't like your life, then it's your responsibility to go change it."
Oh, go, mom.
Right? The light bulb went off, and it's the simplest thing. And it's one of those things that you just know. But for some reason, I couldn't tell myself that. I needed someone to diet. It was almost like giving me permission to reclaim my dreams, reclaim myself, and just thrive from there. And once I forgot that I had that power and life was truly running the show for me, I didn't like where it was going. And I decided I'm going to recommit to myself. And this led me on this self-discovery journey, which is something that I offer as the initial coaching in the packages that I offer. confidence building, learning to reframe my own thoughts about success and why those thoughts were so distorted to even begin with, and eventually just setting goals for myself that reflected the life that I truly wanted to live. So it led me to start my business, which was initially just a self-discovery and mindset coaching business. But as I decided to make this transition to add some business strategy coaching into it, something that stood out to me was that I recognized I was very privileged to be able to change my life this way, and I had a strong and loving support system. Most women out there that want to make these changes, they have circumstances that are preventing them from those changes. And they want to see these change. And I noticed that it ultimately comes down to their finances and their independence. And I noticed in my work as a therapist that women would sometimes remain in these unhappy and unhealthy situations because of their financial struggles and because they were honestly afraid to even attempt to step out. So this led me to do more than help them through the self-discovery and mindset work. I need to empower them with the resources that they need to gain that independence and the financial freedom to be able to create, I call it, their own uniquely ever after based on the company. And by doing that, we have to teach these women how to create their own freedom-based business so they can have freedom of time, location, and finances. So they are the ones running the show.
It's interesting, the finance piece, and there's that Maslow hierarchy of needs where if we can't meet those needs, we can't focus on higher things and we can get so stuck in there. And so it's interesting how you're talking about the development, but then being able to help someone to get that financial independence and the freedom through their own means of producing and providing for themselves. It sounds like it goes hand in hand with giving them the space to also be able to do that personal development.
Absolutely. Yes. Because in regard to Maslow's hierarchy, you do need to have those basic needs met and slowly work your way up that ladder. Because I feel that when you're starting a business and you're reaching that peak growth that we all hope to reach in entrepreneurship, that is that self-actualization tier. But you can't reach it without those bottom tiers. And Uniquely Ever After really starts at that second tier of the more like the support and security. So I can't help with the basic needs. I can encourage you. But as far as that security, this is all about being a safe space for women to grow, connect, and build their dream businesses and lifestyles together.
That's really cool. I really like that.
Thank you.
That's awesome. You mentioned about the self-esteem piece. And how do you see self-esteem coming up in women trying to start their own businesses?
I do believe that people see self-esteem as an inner trait, and to some degree it is, but they feel that it's either you have it or you don't. I think it's actually better if it is a skill that can be learned. I'm living proof of that. I remember working with my first business coach. I all but flat out refused to go live on Instagram, film reels, or even talk to people in DMs. I was so afraid. And by working on my own personal development journey while starting my business, because, you know, those old habits are very hard to break, I was already engaging in that critical self-talk, not really confident in my ability to own and operate a real business. And all it did was create this cycle of self-sabotage. I couldn't dance, right? So the self-esteem really has a way of keeping us stuck and creating these self-fulfilling prophecies. And the problem with that is that we're actually reinforcing and giving all this power to the limiting belief that caused us to have that low self-esteem in the first place. It's this vicious, vicious cycle. And I realize there's a way out of it. But to break that cycle, you have to be very strategic. I know a lot of people in the online business space right now are talking about just start, take the messy action. And although to some degree, I think this is excellent advice, you do want to just be cautious with that level of messy action. Because if it's enough to really trigger a deep inner wound, then that could also be enough to stop you from ever trying again. So you want to make sure you have that proper support, mindset strategies in place, and that you do not even one step at a time, but one micro step at a time, work your way up to it until it does start to become natural. And then you don't feel that resistance as much.
That's so interesting, because I had an experience of that in terms of messy action. Yeah. My first webinar that I ran for our program, the system we had set up for me to be able to do it, it just didn't work. It didn't work at all. And I had people on this webinar and I wasn't able to do the webinar. They couldn't hear me. It just wouldn't work. I had to can it partway through, and it was traumatic, the experience of messing it up. And I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it again because it was just destroying. But thankfully, I had the support from Michael, my husband, to give it another try. We got a simpler system the second time around to work. But it was interesting. Then I just repeated it over and over again to the point where it became second nature to do that and to do that, our masterclass. But first time around, it was really challenging to get back up on the horse because of how catastrophically it nosedived. Oh my gosh. It was that horrible, your stomach drops sort of feeling of just everything that could go wrong does go wrong. You just don't know how to save it.
But it's so nice to look at where you're at now and like where you're from, because that only like fuels the self-esteem more. You've come so far from that webinar, and it's incredible to see that.
Yeah, it's amazing to see that. I'm interested in what the stories you were telling yourself that was getting in the way of going live. I'll start with myself. When I first was going to go do our first YouTube video, which was many years ago, I had this fear that we would go viral and then it would destroy our family and then people would find out where we lived, and like all these stories of all these catastrophic things that would happen because of everybody seeing this video. And I remember getting views or something on our first video and being like, oh, okay, that's not how it goes when you start out. Actually, it's not this big dramatic thing. It's just like a working in progress. But I'm interested, what were the stories you were telling yourself that was getting in the way?
There were a few. One of them was actually because I was bullied horribly in high school to the point that my parents were almost like, okay, we've got to get you out of this school. They were just cruel, was really the word for it. So I graduated in 06. All these years later, those people are going to find me somehow among the billions of users on Instagram. They don't follow me and I don't follow them, but they'll find me. And then they're all just going to start talking about me and making fun of me. And then people are going to see that and they're going to be like, oh, this girl's a loser. I don't like her. And then I realized, you know what? The chances of that happening are slim to none. They're also not children anymore. We've all grown up, and I'm sure that they've all matured past that bullying phase as well. And the truth is, if it were absolute worst case scenario, I had recognized that is no reflection of who I am as a person. That's a reflection of who they are as a person. And I don't need to own that because it's not my story to own. That was significant for me. That was a big, big fear.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. It's almost that trauma resurfacing. And I wonder also with trauma, it takes you back to that level of coping. When you were that young, it's very hard to cope with people saying negative things about us, especially because of how important our social group is and that level of acceptance. And so how much of it was it that you were kind of envisioning yourself almost as that child, teenager, having to deal with it on social rather than necessarily your adult self getting to deal with it?
Yeah, I feel it was almost I was stepping back into my teenage self, and I had realized the exiled part of me that never fully healed was inside freaking out, and I had to address her. And I noticed her there, my own defense mechanisms, they were there to protect me. Of course, avoidance was that first defense mechanism. And I realized, why am I avoiding this? The women that I look to in the online space, they're getting on there, they're showing themselves, and they're building a community, and they're leading. So I can't hide if that's what I want to do. And then I realized, maybe this is selfish of me to not share what I have with all of these women that could benefit from my help because of, what, 50 people that treated me poorly how many years ago? It was so eye-opening, and I realized that teenager inside of me, she needs to be healed, and she has a voice that needs to be let out. Honestly, I'm not going to shut her up any longer. She deserves to be heard. But after really working through those traumas I experienced, I was able to step into my adult self as this confident, resilient woman and say, if someone has something negative to say about me, that's their opinion. That's fine. And if it's because of something I genuinely did wrong, then I would absolutely want to rectify that. But if it's simply because they just don't like me, then they're not my people and I'm not theirs. And that's okay. My people are out there and I need to show up for them at my best.
I love that. Can you say that again about your people?
Absolutely. I believe that people don't like me for the sake of just simply not liking me. That is not a reflection of who I am as a person, and they're simply just not my people. And my people are out there, and those are the ones that need me and look forward to hearing from me, and I'm going to show up for them at my best, despite who doesn't really like hearing from me. They can unfollow me.
Oh, I love it. I really love it. Because how often do we let the people who have traumatized us and hurt us stop us from being the people we really want to be, being the person we want to be, and connecting with people who do care about us, who do love us, who do get value from what we are giving into the world and can benefit from us. Mm-hmm. Because of the few people who react really negatively. I love that. And it's so stepping into what you value as well. And your values, I do find, because it's such hard work to push against the anxiety and not to avoid things like going live and being out there and coming on a podcast, for example. It's yeah. So easy to hide. But when you can really tap into that deeper purpose, it gives you that fuel to do things even when it's scary, even when it can be anxiety provoking to do. Oh, I love that. I really love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
You have a framework that you were going to share with us. I'd love to hear that.
Yes. Okay. So my signature framework, it's called the Sustainable Success Method. I developed this based on my work as a mental health therapist by addressing the inner work that needs to be done while simultaneously strategizing the external goals, which is where that business strategy comes into the picture. So the Sustainable Success Method is broken into three core components, and it includes self, strategy, and success. And those really are the three core components that you need to see success in business. So I illustrate this as a triangle because all three are interconnected. Self is at the top of the triangle because the other two components, they reinforce the concept of self by providing what I refer to as tangible validation. So that everything we're doing in the strategy and success components here, they're providing us with this tangible evidence, hardcore actionable proof that we can't say it's not there. It's tangible. It's right in front of us. And they kind of provide us with this, that the self component now going into here, we're showing ourselves we're capable and we're succeeding. So this then feeds back into strategy and success. Because if we're confident in our abilities, then we're willing to abandon those abilities, which grows our business even further. And this cycle just continues on, leading to maximum growth and success for both the entrepreneur as an individual and the business.
Awesome. It's really this feedback loop of doing this personal work, feeding into the business. The business reflects back the work you've done with the growth and the success, and then that feeds into the cycle.
And we take those cycles of self-sabotage, we identify what they look like for each individual. We understand where do they come from? Why are you using them? When do you use them? So that we kind of get this big picture overview of what is really going on internally and how is it impacting externally? How does it impact your business or you showing up as an entrepreneur? And once we know that, now we break out of this cycle of self-sabotage and create the cycle of success.
So with that cycle, can you give me an example of that, of the self feeding into the success in the business and then how that could look?
Absolutely. One example that I could give even would be an example like going live. That's probably a good one because I think that's something that a lot of people are a little intimidated by. So what I like to look at this as is I have a little smaller model within the sustainable success framework. And this model is called the 3C model. It's just a circle that goes round and round, and it stands for clarity, consistency, confidence. So I knew going live is the ultimate goal. So going back to that idea of not go all in and possibly traumatize ourselves, so we never want to do this again. Let's take micro steps to achieve one step. And then as we achieve those steps, we achieve the goal. So I said, with going live, if that's the big goal, how do I get clarity on what to do? Anxiety often comes from just a lack of clarity. We're anxious because we have no idea what's going to happen, or we're jumping to conclusions about what could negatively happen. So we need that clarity in place so that we are the ones in control. Having that control alone can increase the self-esteem and decrease your anxiety. So I would say with going live as an example, you want to get really, really clear on all the steps you need to do to go live. What is your topic? Have you written an outline for that topic? What mindset work do you need to practice for the upcoming weeks before your first live? What support do you need to understand? Can you practice by doing like a 90-second training on the Instagram stories, those little mini trainings? So all these little micro steps, and it gives you clarity because you can list them out and say, I'm doing this step in this order. This one is on this day. And once you have that clarity, then it's consistency, knowing that each step you take is one small step of discomfort, but discomfort is necessary for your growth. So if we're willing to take those tiny steps of discomfort, which is still so much better, just like diving off the deep end and essentially drowning in the discomfort, we can slowly get acclimated to that feeling of change. And that discomfort doesn't really feel like discomfort anymore. It just feels growth. And the two may be a bit synonymous when it comes to business, because you can't grow unless you do step out of your comfort zone. But it's really this idea of, how do I make this a positive thing rather than a negative? And it almost becomes like excitement, like, look at what I'm accomplishing. Look at this change. And as you have those two factors working together, clarity and then consistency, the consistency leads it to become repetitive. Undoing old habits, unlearning them, and replacing them with new, better habits that are going to contribute to your growth. So once you have the consistency in place, that starts to feed into your confidence, because now you're consistently doing the things you need to do to achieve the goals you're setting for yourself. And you're achieving them well because you have great clarity that gets you to this point. And then once you're confident, it goes right back into that loophole. So if I did a live and I did the clarity, consistency, and now I'm feeling super confident from it, I might think, okay, well, maybe I'll start a YouTube channel. I can do this all the time now. I feel good about it, but it's still a new step. So now we need the clarity again. What are those steps starting a YouTube channel? So the cycle just continues on and on. And that's an example of taking a cycle of self-sabotage and really transforming it into this cycle of self-growth and success.
Oh, I love that.
Thank you.
I love breaking it down. So easy when you have a big thing like going live. How do I go live? I'm supposed to just go live. And it's so easy with the anxiety, because anxiety and avoidance are like best friends, to just avoid the situation. And then part of that self-sabotage is beating yourself up. Oh, I didn't do it. I was supposed to go live today and I didn't go live. But breaking it down, often we kind of have those big things of, I need to go live. I need to start my business. You know, these big things, but without breaking it down, we're not setting ourselves up for that success, that confidence piece. I love that they're getting clarity by breaking it down. Then you're doing those incremental steps. We actually do call it the staircase, where you start with the smallest step. And then as you work your way up, the higher steps are easier because you've already taken those steps, rather than trying to go from 0 to 100 in one hit. So I love how you frame that, because setting yourself up for success, it's, if you get clarity and you get consistent, then you're going to achieve something. You're going to get somewhere.
Absolutely.
I love that.
The really beautiful piece about it is, when you do this and you have that confidence, and it causes you to get this ripple effect where you want to go through this 3C model over and over, to keep seeing, what more am I capable of doing as an entrepreneur, or really anything. But I specifically use it in business growth. It kind of creates this new outlook on yourself as a person. And there's that tangible validation piece. What it does is it chips away at those limiting beliefs. Because as much as I love affirmations, and I do, and I tell clients all the time, say your affirmations, they're important. But the thing is, you don't want to say affirmations that are so far from where you are. I remember first starting my business, and the affirmations that brand new business owners were saying was, I am already a 7-figure CEO. And then 2 weeks later, when we, of course, hit a few hurdles, we're all like, I don't feel like a 7-figure CEO.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, tell you, honey, but it's because you're not. And like, you easily can be, but you're just not going to be that person today. But today, you know what you are. You're a woman who's determined to become one. And that is an amazing affirmation. So using affirmations that are actually going to meet you where you're at, and not huge, grandiose ones that we will achieve. I totally believe any woman out there can achieve it if she believes it. But you have to start at the bottom and work your way to the top. Because again, if you go right for that leap, you're setting yourself up to get hurt. And if you get hurt, that's going to reinforce that limiting belief. And it's either going to stop you, or it will put you in that cycle of self-sabotage where you will set yourself up for failure as you try again.
It's interesting. It's the experiences reinforcing the affirmation. It's giving you tangible experience of that being the truth, not yes. just something you say over and over again to yourself. Because I remember talking to Michael about when you say an affirmation, if you don't fully believe it, there can be a part of your mind that goes, oh, I'm not that. And it almost reinforces that self-sabotage, reinforce the opposite of what you're trying to affirm to yourself. But I love how with the action piece, you're getting those experiences, which are then reinforcing to you that this is how I am and how the world is, which is so powerful. It's amazing how powerful experiences. When it comes to any anxiety you have, getting tangible experiences that can then go, oh yeah, we had that prediction, but actually this happened and it wasn't the catastrophe that we thought it was. Just when you were talking about the going live, talking about getting clarity on the tech piece, from my experience, that's such a key piece sometimes, is having the tech, like figuring out what the tech quite looks like. And that can be a part of the hurdle, eh? Is just, how do I practically do this? Is the kind of getting the motivational, okay, I'm going to do this, but then how do I actually physically do this?
Yeah. Yes. So important, because you want to be really set up to succeed right from the start. Otherwise, any little room for a limiting belief to sneak in, it will sneak in just because it's strong at the moment. So you got to really set yourself up for that success from the start to start chipping away at the strength of that limiting belief and ultimately transform it.
It's interesting, because when you were talking about your framework, I was like, oh, there's a really good upward cycle, but I could see the exact opposite happening in terms of the downward cycle. And so it was interesting when you shared, you broke it down into the micro steps and how you would achieve that. It's like, oh, that's how you don't do it one way. And then you're like, down. That's how you kind of get that, continue that upward momentum. Because something could go really great and that could reinforce the positive beliefs, but then you have the opposite problem if you tank, because that can reinforce. So I can see how that would help by having the incremental progress.
Definitely. The nice piece of the program that I've developed is that with the success portion of the sustainable success framework, it's all about learning self-assessment and setting those plans for scaling your business. So by having that self-assessment and growth plan for both, the scaling is for yourself as an entrepreneur and for your business. So having those two places, they really do feed right back into strategy, which that's where we just focus on the offers, the marketing, also some PR, anything we do to really get this business going. The strategy piece is all 100% business oriented. The self piece is 100% about yourself. It's self-discovery and self-care, because we need a burnout proof plan, especially because a lot of new entrepreneurs are still in their 9-to-5. So we want to make sure that this is a positive experience, because if they feel tired and stressed all the time when they're going for this, that's only going to be used as, I hate this word, but an excuse to kind of protect themselves, that defense mechanism from stepping out of that comfort zone. So again, there's that opportunity for the self-sabotage cycle to start up. I feel that that success piece is the one that kind of holds those two in place a little bit, with self-assessment, really learning how to get honest with yourself and call yourself out, but also really learning how to praise yourself and recognize all the things you're doing so wonderfully, and then find the middle ground. Okay, what maybe improve on a little bit, or what do we want to change? The trial and error pretty much is the essence of building a business. And I feel that people get very discouraged when it doesn't work out the first time. So keeping that trial and error growth mindset and the self-assessment piece of this, I feel that that is like that nice little safety net in a way. I do teach them data-driven strategies for self-assessment. And I also like to base it on the personalities. So maybe an Enneagram test, or even giving them the big 5 factors of personality, because that can focus so much on how you think, how you act. So you may benefit from some self-assessment strategies over others.
Can you just outline to anyone who doesn't know Enneagram and the Big 5 what those are?
Sure. The Enneagrams, they're actually something from way back when. There's 9 of them, and they're basically, you have a number. Surprisingly, I am an Enneagram 4, which shocks me, but I do kind of see it.
What's number four?
Number four is the individualist. So what that means is that I really like the fact that I am different and unique. It's kind of a strength in me. It kind of makes you feel outcasted. So that was probably my young Enneagram 4, thinking the world does not like and accept her. Growing into an adult, much wiser Enneagram 4, recognizing, yeah, I'm different. And that's great because my differences make me special and they allow me to help people that can benefit from these differences. So to some degree, I see it, but I think 4s get a bad rep. But there are different levels of the Enneagram from 1 through 9. You can take a free test online to research that. And it just tells you a little bit more about what number you are and then what that number is like for you. As far as the big 5 factors personality, that one is represented on a scale. I believe it was the Likert type scale. I haven't done that one in a few months. But you can take that test online as well. It really tells you all about who you are as a person. Like, are you introverted versus extroverted? And it just gets into a lot of those personality traits. So introversion versus extroversion is really one of my favorites, because if you're an introvert and you're trying to do business, one of the first limiting beliefs that pop up is, you can't do this. I'm just a really naturally shy, quiet person. My rebuttal is always the same thing. Yeah, we need more of those in the online entrepreneurship space, because the people that are a little more shy and quiet have so much inside of them that they just don't know sometimes how to let it out. They don't feel comfortable letting it out. So again, it's a habit to bottle it up. But they have amazing gifts, just like the extroverts do. They're just afraid to show them. So I would know, based on having someone who scores high on introversion, I know what work that person might benefit from versus someone who scores high on extroversion.
It's really interesting how the personality plays into this, because if you're creating a business that you want, that's going to be rewarding for you, you want it to fit who you are. You don't want to be running a business like somebody else who's completely different from you, who isn't going to work with how you are as a person.
Absolutely. And it's definitely not one size fits all. Currently, I am doing all one-on-one coaching, but I am working on starting a group program. And my goal with this group program is to have a very big individual component to it. I definitely plan to have a kickoff call for new members that really get some strategy in place one-on-one. But also the big goal is just to make sure every individual's needs are being met one-to-one during those calls, really taking the time to make sure, because it can be beneficial for other entrepreneurs to learn those different ways. So even if it doesn't apply to you and your business, it is so cool to see what else is out there, what other entrepreneurs are doing to succeed, because that can really help with the networking component as well.
Yeah, it is great connecting with other people who are doing this thing, because especially in the online space, you don't necessarily know people around. Just being an entrepreneur, you might be the only one in your family or in your circle of friends who actually is doing this. And it's different from doing 9-to-5 work. There's a different level of challenge to running a business.
Very, very different. It does require a lot of, I think, resilience, because that trial and error, I mean, it's going to happen even in the late stage of the game. You're always going to be, as long as you're looking to scale, you're going to have to do some trial and error. But in those beginner stages, like, you really need that resilience and support. And family and friends can be so supportive, but if they don't completely understand what you're doing, and if they're also a little bit afraid for you, because entrepreneurship is seen as quite a risk, it's just so amazing that we have these communities online where there are so many people going right through the same process as you are, and they're so supportive of each other.
Yeah, I really love, we've got a group of people with anxiety. It's just so cool seeing them encouraging each other when they do the work and when they have success, and supporting each other when they're struggling. It's amazing to have that. I think especially with anxiety, it can sometimes be isolating and make us feel like we're alone. And it's so good to know that other people are going through similar things that we're experiencing. It's not just us.
Very well said. Yeah.
I'd love to know, one thing I've been asking people, because it just keeps coming up, is how is your personal experience with anxiety, with self-esteem, that side of things, how has that fed into, created and informed your business? Has it played a part in what you do now, that work you've done yourself?
Definitely. The self-esteem piece, I would say that it plays in, because it's actually like the whole system of the confidence building part of the self in the sustainable success framework. So I knew that confidence building was something we absolutely had to do, because I even saw people that I knew who had really good self-esteem that wanted to start businesses. And once they started, and you're going to have those inevitable failures along the way, their self-esteem dropped and they started aiming themselves and doubting themselves, rather than recognizing it's either A, you're not using the right strategy, or B, you're not talking to the right people, or C, you're just not doing it right. But it doesn't mean you can't do it right. You know, anything can really be learned. And that's where that growth mindset really comes into play. But they were personalizing it. And then as you kind of dig a little deeper, you realize that even someone who has pretty good self-esteem on the outside, there's always limiting beliefs. We all have them, and they do affect some of us more than others. But once you start digging into those limiting beliefs a little bit, that's when you can really separate self from situation. So when you're testing things out and you see some of those failures, you're not going to let it personally affect your self-esteem. That's something I definitely struggled with at the start, seeing other people struggle with as well. So I knew that would be a necessary component of this framework. I feel like that's the community part of this. So my goal with this business is to really have this safe space for women to support each other in whatever it is that they're looking to achieve. I actually named the business Uniquely Ever After, because I feel that Happily Ever After is a one size fits all. That's a lie, because one woman's happily ever after looks very different than the next woman's. And that's okay, because it's hers. So that's all that matters. She's happy with it. So I decided, well, let's make our own Uniquely Ever After. And we're going to be in control of what it looks like. And it can include anything we want to make it happy. The only thing you have to commit to is working hard and your personal growth to get there. And you can do it. So I would say the anxiety kind of went away for me when I really started to focus on this idea of I can do this. Like, people have overcome far bigger challenges than me just trying to start a business. So if people can overcome these life-changing challenges, I can start a business. And I have been able to notice that as a trend in my work as a mental health therapist too. People really magnify their anxiety. They catastrophize. And once they can decatastrophize and really look at the situation for what it is without the biases of the limiting beliefs playing into it, it's a totally different situation in their eyes. It sets them up with like this clean slate to really establish their success.
So it sounds like it's things you've learned yourself, you've worked into that framework, knowing and working with other people and seeing that that is a piece of their process, knowing that that's an element that will need to be worked through to get to where they're wanting to go. I think it's really cool when we do the work, because the work is hard. When we can turn that and then help other people with that, it turns it from just struggle and overcoming to then this rewarding, almost paying it forward and helping the next person up. It's so cool to see people in business getting purpose, reward, and meaning out of using their own challenges and struggles to be able to help the next person along. And especially thank you so much for sharing your struggles with the bullying side of things, especially with this online space, this social media where you're so exposed to the world. Well, depends how your exposure is. Sometimes to start with, you have not much exposure at all, but it can be quite exposing, and there can be that fear of what that exposure will bring. And so working through that bullying piece can be quite big for people to be able to do what they need to do to move their business forward. So it's really helpful to hear that, hear of someone who's been able to work through that. So thank you for sharing that. And I'd love you to just share, if people are resonating with what we've been talking about, and especially with you, how they can work with you, Dalla.
So I do currently do one-on-one connection calls to just talk a little bit about what you're struggling with in terms of starting a business. Even if that's, I want to start a business and just have no idea where to start, that's great. We can work through that. So I offer these free 30-minute one-on-one connection calls. I will give you the link so that anyone who would be interested in booking one can absolutely do so. And I have this really great freebie right now. It's a 17-page fillable PDF that's all about crafting a business idea that will make you stand out in your industry. So I would love to give you the link for that as well, for people to get a little clarity on their ideas.
Well, we'll put that in the show notes so you can check that out and grab that freebie. Thank you so much for that. And if they want to follow you on socials, whereabouts are you?
Yes, I am on both Instagram and Facebook at Uniquely Ever After.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time and for everything that you've shared with us. I hope you have a great day, and it's been great having you on the podcast.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Anxiety Specialist podcast. That's it for this week's episode. If you found this episode helpful, make sure to click the follow button and please do share this with your family and friends. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook or Instagram. That's at Anxiety Specialists. And if you're interested to learn how you can live an anxiety-free life, you can get our epic Anxiety Reducer Guide absolutely free, so you can get started right away on getting your anxiety back down. Just grab the link in the show notes. Feel free to message us and let us know what you'd like to learn next. I am your host, Michael Burrows.
And I'm Becky Burrows.
And we're going to be back next week with more tips, strategies, and insights so you can get the anxiety-free life you deserve.